Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and exude from our lives, we pray, that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, for those of you who are out there on internet land, we have a special guest coming this day. And I'm not going to make the introduction. I just wanted to get us online so you know where things are going. I'm going to turn this over to our missions chair, and he is going to make the introduction as to what's happening this day. I think you will be blessed. No, I know you will be blessed. Brother Mitch.
Morning, church. Another year passed, and it's Gideon Sunday again. Amen. I thank the Heart of Christ Church for the support you give to the Giddings International. It's a blessing, and I want you to understand that because of your financial support, your prayer support, and membership, you are part of these salvation stories. Prayer is important, and sometimes these Giddings put themselves in harm's way. And after hearing Pat's presentation last night, he was in just such a situation, which if he shares today, I hope he does. If not, he's here. Pat Corkery is actually born in Philadelphia. Spent time in Philly, spent time in New Jersey through his job, and I'm not sure where his wife was born, New York. Okay, so the Lord put them together. They ended up in Washington State through his life circumstances. Pat has traveled extensively for the Giddings International. He was team leader in Trinidad, Tobago, Paraguay, Venezuela, Madagascar, Naples, Italy, Burkina Faso, Torino, Duris, and a bunch of other countries. I'm going to let him tell you what it's like to travel in these countries. Amen.
Giddings in Pakistan had received a letter from a man who was in prison. And he said, "Dear Christian friends, please send me one of your holy books. But you can't bring it to me here in this prison because it's run by Muslims and they will not allow us to receive anything from a Christian. So please send the Word of God to my Hindu friend at the enclosed address." So we have a collaboration between a Hindu to get a Muslim a copy of God's Word. And so it was about maybe 2 months later, another letter came and it said, "Dear sirs, thank you so much for sending me God's Word, but it's very difficult here. You see, there are 12 of us in one cell, and everyone wants to have the book. So we've divided the day up into 12 two-hour sessions, and everyone has the Testament for 2 hours. Some months went by, and another letter came. "Dear sirs, thank you so much for sending me the Word of God. Through reading this holy book, I have discovered that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord of the world, and I've surrendered my life to Him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for sending me that book." Now, my church couldn't have gone into Pakistan and given that book, and certainly yours couldn't either. But through the instrumentality of this ministry, the way God set it up, we have Gideons in Pakistan who were able to respond to the movement of the Lord and to meet that need. And so we're thankful for what He allows us to do. Thanks a lot for inviting us to come today. Cindy and I have had a great time while we've been here in Pennsylvania and really enjoyed the service this morning so far, and I hope you do. And what we're going to do is just be able to share a few things this morning. I want you to think about a word, impact. We want you to be able to see how God is moving and the impact His Word is having around the world as we partner together to get it into the hands of people all over the world today. But you know, we Christians have the good news. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. But you know, there's a part of the gospel that also has bad news. And it's just a couple of verses after John 3:16. It's in John 3:18. It says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God." They stand condemned already. Let your mind get wrapped around that. Your neighbors, the people that you talk to at work, family members that are outside of Christ are condemned already. And so we have to, first of all, be praying intently for them. But secondly, we have to be willing to share Christ with them, and we need to have a sense of urgency to do that. And I'd just like to share a little bit more. You know, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 is what we call the Great Commission. And I'm sure many of you have, I don't know if I'll ask everybody to recite it because we may be in different versions. It might not sound so great, but we're told to go into all the world and to share the gospel, to make disciples. And as a church, you know, we want to be making disciples who are make disciples. We want to see this, the faith multiply and grow. We're talking about this morning how things could be a lot better in our country now. It's a wonderful country that God's given us. But we can't change this nation. We can't change the world unless we change hearts. And it's the Word of God that will change hearts. And so that's what we're about. We need to go with a sense of urgency. You know, there are billions that are facing an eternity without Christ. It's said that there are billions who have never had one opportunity to hold a copy of God's Word in their hands or to hear the gospel clearly presented in a language that they can understand. And I'd just like to say that, you know, Jesus is counting on us to do the job. There's no plan B. It's the church. If you think back, you know, back when you've read Genesis and we've seen what happened in Genesis, how man fell, and Adam and Eve both equally at fault, fell when they disobeyed God. If you back up even before that, you see that, and I'm not going to go through the verses because we don't have time, but I'm sure you've read them, that when God created Adam, he gave him dominion over planet Earth. He was King Adam. And so, when Adam sinned and when they fell, title deed of planet Earth went to the one that tempted them, the one that they obeyed. Planet Earth became under Satan's rule. And Jesus didn't argue with that. In fact, when he was on the earth, he said that the God of this world is coming. And so Satan, in a very real way, was title deed owner of the planet because of Adam's sin. So Christ went to the cross. He shed his blood. And he died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. Amen. On the third day, he rose again. Amen. Amen. Okay. We can say hallelujah when it's not Easter, right? How about a hallelujah? He rose again. And that just gives us such hope when we know that. But the point is when Jesus rose again, he became title deed owner of planet Earth once again. This is a legal context of the gospel. But what did he do with it? He turned to his followers, to the church, the beginnings of the church, and he put it in their hands and he said, go. He's looking to us to do the work, to finish the work that he's done. The Holy Spirit's the one that saves. We're the ones that are obedient, and we take the gospel into all the corners of the world today. He's counting on us. And if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, by the way, I just had to say that because that's how my pastor starts every Sunday. you might want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to go through a few verses, and I hope nobody's offended. I'm going to use my cell phone because I left my Bible two stops earlier, and I'm without my Bible. So, but there's one here, and I've got it on my cell phone, about five different versions. Okay, so as you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to be thinking about the fact that it's our job to go and that there's no plan B. God's depending upon us to take the Word of God into all the world. And so if you look at, first of all, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We have fear of the Lord. We know He's the Almighty. He's called us, but we have a deep reverence and a holy fear for God. And he's given his church the job of reaching this world for Christ. And it says, we persuade others. And so keep that in your mind as we go ahead. And let's look at verse 15. This is a great verse. God's had me meditating on this quite a bit because I know I fall short of this. And I keep praying that God will help me more and more to surrender my life to Christ as he intends. It says, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. That's a challenge, brothers and sisters. We might not live for ourselves. He died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake was raised. And that's what we're called to do. And when we do that, you know, we're going to have that sense of urgency in our heart to reach others for Christ. So we go down to verse 18. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him that way no longer. And verse 17 is that verse that most of us memorized shortly after we got saved. You know, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We're going to skip down to verse, let's see, I almost lost my place there. To verse 18, it says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and, listen, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's an awesome task that God has given his church. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and listen, entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's our job. It's up to us to get it done. And you've probably had some sermons on this. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors, sent ones for Christ. God making his appeal through us. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Then verse 21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. What a great verse. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I hope you're following this okay. I've got to try and get my phone to go over to chapter 6. You know, it's not anointed, the separation between the chapters and the scripture. So as we look ahead to chapter 6, as soon as I get it up here on my phone, I'll read that to you. I'm sorry, this is a little bit clumsy here. Well, it's not cooperating. I earned my money with technologies. You would never know it. Okay, chapter 6, verse 1 says, working together with him. Some versions say, as God's partners. Now, can you think about the God, as we heard earlier, created 100 billion galaxies. Actually, I think now they say about 300 billion galaxies. That God who, even before the foundation of the world, he chose Christ to be our Savior. The Lord who created everything by his word wants to partner with us in reaching men and women and boys and girls for our Savior Jesus Christ. That's just an awesome fact, that he wants to partner with us. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. How did you receive the grace of God? When you bowed your heart to Christ and received him as your Lord and Savior. For he says, in the favorable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. And this is our challenge. It says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's depending on his church to take the gospel into all the world, and there's no plan B. It's the church. And I hope that God just moves your heart with that, because here in America, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but there's been surveys, and they've determined that about 90% of believers will go to their graves without having led one person to Christ. And that's an appalling statistic for us. There's a verse of scripture in Jeremiah that says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You know, I don't want to hear that cry from people. I want to see people come to know the Lord and to be ready to receive Christ when he comes, and to be ready to go to glory with all of us. Well, the Gideon's International is an association of Christian business and professional men and their wives, and we serve together side by side with one singular objective, and that is to win men and women, boys and girls, to our Lord Jesus Christ. We do that through associating for service, through our personal witnessing, and we do it by serving in our local churches and reaching people in that way. We place the Word of God in hands all over the world, to school children, university students, community colleges, to men and women in our military, police, firefighters, those incarcerated in jails and prisons. We're a husband and wife ministry, so we stand side by side, and our wives go to the hospitals and to medical offices and distribute God's word to the people that work there and the people that are being served by medical professional staff. I mentioned that we go to jails and prisons. It's been a few years ago I had the opportunity to go to a little country that was formerly part of the Soviet Union called Moldova. In fact, Moldova was the first country that had the Gideon ministry in the former Soviet Union. But when I got to go there, we went to a prison one day. It was a large prison. We had a group of men that met us there. Some of them have a regular ministry in the prison. They were going to accompany the Gideons. One was a pastor. And one man came up to me and he said, Brother, I want you to know that I used to be a really bad guy, and I was a resident here. I was incarcerated in this prison. But one day, the Gideons came to the jail, and they offered me a copy of God's Word. And I had to keep my appearance up before the other prisoners, so I said, I'm not interested in your religion. Just take your book. Go away. But then I looked at the size of it as he walked away. I said, wait a minute. Bring that back. Let me see it. So he put the scripture through the bars, and I took it, and I started looking at it, and I said, you know, this is something I could really use, but I'm going to be honest. I don't want to read it. I want to use it to roll my cigarettes. Well, I know that as you think about that, you know, it kind of aches our heart to think that the Word of God would be used in that way. But the Lord spoke to the Gideon that had offered him the scripture, and he said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll let you have it if you promise me, look me right in the eye, and you promise me that before you smoke it, you'll read it. And this man said, and so I looked him right in the eye, and I promised him, and I meant it, that I would read it before I use it to roll my cigarettes. And so I still cringe when I think about that. But he said, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke, and I smoked halfway through John when I came to chapter 14, verse 6, where it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, as I read those words, the Holy Spirit just fell upon me, and I just realized, I wasn't saved in that moment, but I realized this was true. This was, everything I read was true. So I continued reading. And as I got to the end of the New Testament, there was a place where the Gideons had outlined the plan of salvation, and I read through and prayed through those verses. I surrendered my life to Christ. I've never been the same. And the pastor that was there went on to tell me that this man comes there 3 or 4 times a week, bringing the Word of God, witnessing to those prisoners, and he has led hundreds to Christ. So that's the impact that God's Word has when we get it into one person's hands, as God uses him and uses his Word. The next testimony I want to share with you is when we had the opportunity to go to a church in Maracaibo. I'm sorry, I had a brain cramp there. Maracaibo in Venezuela. And we had what we call a scripture blitz, where the Gideons will go in with about 20 or so men. We work with the local Gideons in that country, and during a 2-week period, we distributed about 650,000 copies of God's Word so that people could have God's Word and have an opportunity to know Christ. Well, when I had the opportunity to speak in this largest church in Venezuela, it's called Iglesia de la Cruz, before I actually got up to do my presentation, the pastor said, Brother, before you speak today, I want you to ask a question. And the question I want you to ask is, how many of you received the Gideon New Testament and it was your first scripture that you ever owned and it was instrumental in your salvation? And so I was obedient and I asked the question before I spoke. I said, how many of you was our test of the Gideon New Testament, the first scripture that you had ever received, and it was instrumental in your salvation? And as I asked that question, I asked them to raise their hands. I looked all over that auditorium that sat about 8,500 people, and it was probably 90% capacity. I just saw hands up all over the place. And I knew he was going to ask me what I thought, so I thought to myself, well, it's at least 25%, probably a lot more. After the service, the pastor asked me, so, brother, how many do you think raised their hands there today? I said, well, I really don't know, but I think it was at least 25%. And then he told me I needed to have my eyes checked when I got home because it was way more than that. But think about the impact the New Testament, the Word of God, is having as your Gideons in Venezuela distribute to people in the schools and universities and the hospitals and all the different places we distribute God's Word, that then caused them to go to church so they could find out and learn more about Jesus and perhaps get led to the Lord by that pastor or that church. And that's the impact that we're having through this partnership that we have, the local church and the Gideons International. And we're just so blessed that we can have that relationship and see God work in that way. Burkina Faso had the opportunity to do the same thing in this little country in West Africa. We went into a classroom. There were over 100 students seated in one classroom, had one little neon bulb up in the top, an old beat-up blackboard, a few pieces of chalk, and over 100 kids, no papers on the desk, nothing. Just a teacher. And as we shared with her that we were bringing books, little copies of God's Word, to distribute to her students, this teacher just began to weep. And she said, "Oh, I'm so excited. My heart is beating so rapidly because now I have a book from which I can teach these boys and girls to read." And so the Word of God then becomes the reading class textbook in Burkina Faso in this particular class. And it was just an amazing honor that we had to provide God's Word for that purpose. So let's go to Madagascar. And when God moves, you know, in a stunningly miraculous way, it's just such an awesome thing. I had an assignment to take a team to Madagascar. And it was a smaller team. We were only going to be there for 1 week. During that week, God allowed us to distribute about 158,000 copies of God's Word. But the first day that we got there, the local guys had arranged for us to go to another prison. And the thing that was so striking to me is I got there early just to make sure things were set up and ready, and the rest of the team came in on Saturday. But on Wednesday, they said to me, "Pat, we're not going to see you till late in the day tomorrow because we have been fasting and praying for 2 weeks. And so tomorrow we're going to be praying together before we see you in the evening." And so I said, "Oh, please, I would love to be a part of that with you." And so they came and they got me, and I went to this home with a few brothers, and we were on our knees praying through most of that day. Well, God used that on Saturday when we went to the prison. First of all, the commandant just allowed us to come in. We had the Word of God, gave us free rein to walk and go anywhere through that prison that we wanted to share with people. In fact, they arranged to have large groups of the prisoners come and be seated on the ground, actually, so that we could talk to them and distribute God's Word. The first place we went, there were about 1,000 men that were seated in rows on the ground waiting for us. And so as we had the opportunity to speak to them, they had a little rudimentary loudspeaker and a little PA system there. The Gideon that was asked to speak stood up and he said, "Men, we want you to understand that we get to come here today and we get to leave and you don't. But we want you to know something. You see, we're criminals just like you are, because the Word of God says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And it gets worse than that, because not only are we guilty of being criminals in God's eyes, we also deserve capital punishment, because it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord," which is the good news in that verse. And so this Gideon brother went through and shared the gospel of Christ with these prisoners. And then he gave an invitation and asked men that wanted to pray to receive Christ to raise their hands. And there was sobbing. You could hear the crying. And the Holy Spirit was really moving on these men. And we asked for a show of hands. There were so many that we estimated it was probably about 800 or 900 men that received Christ in that large group. Then we went to another area and we had another brother share in the same way. The wives of the Gideons were ministering to the female prisoners, and at the end of the day, we conservatively estimated that in this prison of about 3,000, that about 1,800 had come to know Christ that day. And so, you know, we were still burdened because these are babies in Christ, so now what? And but that Friday night, we had a banquet with all the pastors from around the capital city of Antananarivo in Madagascar. And the speaker who shared that night told the testimony and said, "Pastors, we want you to know that you got a bunch of babies in Christ in that prison that need to be discipled, and they need to be taught the Word of God. And we already have arranged with the commandant to let you in whenever you're available, whenever you have the time to go in, and you can gather men and you can begin to teach them God's Word." And he said, "How many of you would be willing to do that?" A lot of hands went up. And he said, "Well, if you'd stand, I'm going to pray for you so as you begin to take on this task." And every pastor in the room stood. There were about 28 pastors or so that stood and said that they would go and help disciple these men. And so you see, the impact of God's Word is we would have never got through the front door if you didn't help us have the New Testaments to send to that prison to be able to, for the local Gideons to be able to take in and share the good news. So thank you for doing that, and see that this partnership is truly having an impact for souls around the world today. So let me share some important ways and things that the Gideons can do. You know, partnership implies that it's a two-way street. It's not just one partner receiving and the other giving. And so there's some things we think that the Gideons can also be a resource for you. First of all, we can provide your church, if we haven't done so already, with the life book. And the life book is a pretty neat thing. It either comes with the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark, and even in Spanish we have the Gospel of John. But what the life book does is it allows your young people to go on a mission trip to their own high school to do an in-school peer-to-peer distribution, for which the ACLU has no business and can't do anything about that. It's something that you can do in the schools. And so as we've been doing that all over the United States, there's been over about 40 million of them that have been placed in the hands of students as students share the life book with their friends. And we've had so many testimonies that we've gotten back of young people that have come to Christ, of youth groups that have just exploded because a large high school had a lot of kids get God's word and wanted to know more, so they came to youth group at the church. So it's really a really neat thing to see what God has done through that. We have something called Conversations, and it's an opportunity where Gideons who have been trained to do it can come to your church and help equip you to feel comfortable in sharing your faith in Christ with others. And it's just a simple way to share Christ and to do it with the Word of God, a simple approach to sharing the gospel. As I mentioned before, it's estimated about 90% of believers have never shared their faith with others. I think it's their job to bring people to church and let the pastor do it, I guess. But it's our job, as we shared from God's word earlier. And we can provide tools to take the fear out of personal witnessing and help you overcome what I call the sin of silence. We don't want to be guilty of the sin of silence. We want to put ourselves at God's disposal to share Christ with others when the Holy Spirit's moving on their hearts. But we need to be equipped to do that too. And so that's one of the things Gideons can do, is to partner with your church and your pastor to do that. Something else that is available to you is to become a friend of the Gideons. And we realize that everyone in the church isn't a Christian business or professional man, as most Gideons are. But we have an alternative, and that is to become a friend of the Gideons. And it allows you, first of all, to be informed, to be able to pray for us that way, to be invited to some of our special events that we have from time to time, and also to have access to ordering copies of scriptures for yourself. You can order as many New Testaments as you feel you can give out, and they'll be sent to you. And they charge you about $2 a piece for a New Testament like this. It doesn't have the emblem on it, but it has everything in here, the extraneous materials, the helps, and the plan of salvation in the back. So that's something you can do as a friend of the Gideons. And you can go online and you can find out more about that. And I'll share the email address with you a little bit later. But this is an opportunity where you can really come alongside the ministry as a friend of the Gideons. And of course, one of the main things we ask you to do is to pray for us as we pray for your church. And so being a friend of the Gideons is a good thing. The other thing that you can do is you can have access to our Gideon Bible app. Now, the Gideon Bible app is really a wonderful tool. Now, we first designed the Gideon Bible app to be a strategic tool to be able to get God's word in those countries where we can't take scriptures, like Afghanistan. Everybody's got the internet. And so they can download the Gideon Bible app that actually comes in about 1,700 different languages that you can select as you go into that Bible app. And it's just a great thing. It's a tool that has been increasingly used. It's got some material in there so you can share Christ with somebody. It's got the plan of salvation. It's got a lot of helps and tools. Plus, it's the full Bible in those languages. Just to give you a quick example, I had an opportunity to speak to a guy who was from India, and his English was okay, but you know, it's not his primary language. And so as I was looking at John 3:16 with him, I could say to him, okay, so your country, your home country is India, and I could select the pull-down window of countries and select India, and then I could go in and I could find John 3:16 as it pulled up the scripture. Before I did that, I asked him what dialect he speaks in India. So he said Malayalam, which is one of the about 50 different dialects they have in India, so I could select that and then select John 3:16, and he could read it in his dialect, and he could also hear it in his language. So the Gideon Bible app is a great thing. You all ought to have it on your iPhone, or if you have the one that you can order off of, you can download from the Google App Store. It's free of charge, and so you can have that as you would like to. And so that's a wonderful tool. Now, some ways you can help the Gideons. And we want to thank you, by the way, because I know you folks are very generous in your support for the ministry. And so thank you. And I hope that you see the impact that God is having through His Word. So here are some ways you can help us. First of all, you can pray for us. And I'm going to give you some specifics. First of all, pray that hotel doors and motel doors will remain open to us. You know, increasingly, we're starting to see this. When we go to a hotel or motel, and they tell us that, you know, having the Gideon Bible in the rooms does not quite fit in with our marketing strategy. A lot of the boutique hotels, and I don't want to talk about what you will find in the hotel drawers, but it's not God's Word. So if you stay in a hotel, first of all, pray. Pray that God will keep these doors open, right here in your own community, too, for the hotels and motels. But if you stay in a hotel or motel, and you find that there's not a Bible in the room, you can call down to the desk and ask them if they have one, and if they do, then that's great. Then when you fill out the little critique they leave in the room, you can thank them for having a Bible there, give them some positive feedback. But if they don't have it, use that critique to tell them how disappointed you were that God's Word was not in that room, and believe me, it has a difference. I had the opportunity to be in Paris, France. We were setting up a distribution for a blitz, as I've shared with you a little bit here today. And I was working with the local Gideons, and I stayed in this Ibis Hotel. And when they brought me there, they said, you know, about 6 months ago, they told us to come and get all the Bibles and take them out because the person who owns the conglomerate that this hotel is a part of is an atheist. Not only an atheist, he's anti-Christian. He doesn't want any Christian stuff in his hotel. So he said, get the Bibles out. But he told the local guys, if you see a good business reason to have them, then that'll be okay. Well, they got six feedback letters from people that stayed in this 450-room hotel. Six critiques that said they were not happy that the Bible wasn't in the room as they expected it to be there. And they asked for them all to come back. Put all the Bibles back in there. So that's one of the reasons why I ask you. Fill out that critique. Give them some feedback and pray. Another way that you might want to help the Gideon ministry is to become a Gideon. Now, that's a calling, and if God calls you and the pastor agrees, we don't want you to take it away from your church work. That comes first. I'm an elder in my church, and my wife will tell you I'm pretty busy being an elder in my church, but we also can find some time to go on distributions and put God's Word into the hands of people as we have opportunity. The other thing that you can do is use Gideon cards. Now, we're not in the card business, we're in the soul-winning business. But through this program of Gideon Cards, which allows you to bring comfort to the bereaved, there are cards that can do that, also recognize people who have special achievements, and when you're praying for someone, you just want to greet them and let them know that you're thinking about them, we have some very attractive cards that you can use for those. We pay for the cards so that whatever donation you accompany with the card when you take it will go 100% for scriptures to be placed around the world. We take care of the logistical part of that. About 14 million scriptures were placed through this program alone, not last year because of COVID and all that, but a couple years ago. So that's a great opportunity that you can use for helping us get God's Word into people's hands. So I just want to say thank you very much for letting us come today to help you see how God is using His Word. We're not here to glorify the Gideons. We're here to glorify our Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what He does through His Holy Spirit as He draws people to Himself, and that we can just have a little part in what He's doing to build His kingdom. So you keep praying for us, and we'll keep praying for you. And Pastor, thank you very much for letting us have this opportunity today. Thank you.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.